IVM.
This episode of Know Your Kanoon was recorded outdoors, so please excuse the quality of audio.
Welcome to Know Your Kanoon. This is Amber from Corpus Legal, and in today's episode, we are going to look at some of the main characteristics, features, and background of the recently passed Lokpal. What powers does the Lokpal have? What is the administrative setup? And who can be prosecuted as per the bill? So if we go into the origin, the Lokpal is in concept, as we have in the Scandinavian countries, about the Ombudsman, which is a public grievance agency or a body which looks into matters at hand. And Lokpal is specifically dedicated to dealing with corruption-related charges and matters. It was first introduced by Dr. Singhvi back in 1960s. However, it never saw the light of the day until recently, when the government passed it and gave it some meaning in action. Though the whole movement and the idea of getting the Lokpal was also initiated in early 2011, we know, as by Mr. Anna Hazare and his associates. But the bill saw the light of the day only till recently. So let's look at why this bill was important for India and why do we have it.
The term Lokpal thus is derived from the Sanskrit word, which means Lok, and Pal means caretaker of people. And in India, the requirement was such because there is no independent body as such with so many powers, you know, which can look into corruption charges being leveled against public servants. And for that matter of fact, members of parliaments or other political dignitaries. And because there is not such a mechanism, there is a high possibility of existing mechanisms like the government bodies and statutory bodies such as CBI and Central Vigilance Commission, Central Election Commission, and so forth, so on, that they can only act in a particular manner, but they are still under the control of the government.
Independent body which could operate on its own and really do the needful, which was to be required in the country as far as corruption cases are concerned, like the judiciary, and an independent body was needed. Hence, the Lokpal came into picture under the Lokpal Act of 2013, where there were Lokpal elected at the national level and Lokayuts at the state level. Now let's look at the scenario around the world, you know, where all and which countries do Lokpal, you know, exists. So some of the countries where Lokpal exists, you know, like in India, is United Kingdom, Spain, Netherlands, Austria, Portugal, Finland, Denmark, and Sweden. And the reason being that there has been always this concept till from the early 17th century to bring parity between the public and the political class and the so-called officer class of people into civil and other administrations around the world. Now, let's look at basically what, apart from that, let's look at basically what is the composition of the Lokpal. The office of the Lokpal generally comprises of a chairman and up to 8 other members. The chairman of the Lokpal can be a current or a former judge of the Supreme Court or the Chief Justice of a High Court or of the High Courts. Or it has to be a person, an eminent person, who is of a neat and a clean image and outstanding ability, having special knowledge and expertise of not less than 25 years in the following matters. So if we break down this, it has to be either of the individuals, as I said ahead, you know, it has to be the current or a former judge of the Supreme Court or the Chief Justice of any of the High Courts, or a person who is a very neat and clean image and has expertise of 25 years minimum in relation to the following set of areas, which is, first of all, anti-corruption policy, public administration, vigilance, law and management, finance, including insurance and banking. But there is a proviso and a note to it, and not a proviso, but a note to it, and a note states that as per the provision of the Act, 50% of the members of the Lokpal shall be from the community of scheduled castes, scheduled tribes and other backward classes, minorities and women. This is just to give a representation of equality around the country, which is there, that, you know, everyone has the right to be represented in such a national body. And there is a selection committee which is possibly there to appoint the Lokpal in the country. Now, what does this selection committee comprise of and who appoints the Lokpal? So the selection committee to appoint the Lokpal constitutes of the Prime Minister, the Chief Justice of India, or the individual who is a nominee, right? Lok Sabha speakers, leader of oppositions, an eminent jurist nominated by the President of India. Now, these are some of the highlights, you know, of the Lokpal, that the committee has to be one which is coming from the top brass, right? And it has to appoint someone of all the characteristics as I mentioned. Thus, there is a very tough procedure for the Lokpal to be appointed. Now, how can Lokpal be removed? Well, removal of Lokpal the provision states that to remove the Lokpal, 100 members of the parliament need to sign the petition seeking the removal of the chairman of the Lokpal or any other members. This, allegation, if being put on the Lokpal that, you know, he's not performing correctly or so forth, so otherwise, can only be investigated by the Supreme Court. And if Supreme Court find the charges to be true, then Supreme Court suggests the president to remove the Lokpal from the post. An alternative way to remove the Lokpal is self-reference of the president, which is on the advice of the cabinet, respectively to the Supreme Court, which can investigate the charges. Thus, apart from 100 members of the parliament who need to sign the petition, the president on his own reference after the approval of the cabinet can refer to the Supreme Court to investigate the charges and get the Lokpal removed. Now, let's see what are the powers of the Lokpal. If, respectively, a Lokpal receives a complaint under the Prevention of Corruption Act of 1988, then it can initiate an investigation. If the complaint is found true in the investigation, then Lokpal can ask the government to take disciplinary actions against the accused individuals or the public servants, or there is a special corruption case which can be filed in a special court being set up under the Lokpal's jurisdiction. Now, salary and allowances of the chairman and the members. Let's look at that structure. What is the monetary emolument the individuals are getting? The chairman of the Lokpal shall enjoy the same salary and allowance as Chief Justice of India. That shows the equal parity and the power and the status they are trying to maintain. While members shall receive the same salary and allowance as those enjoyed by justices of Supreme Court. Right? So there is just not much parity or much difference in the emolument. They are almost kept the same, just as to maintain the integrity. Now, who can be investigated by the Lokpal? Let's look at the jurisdiction of Lokpal. As per the provisions of Lokpal Act, it can investigate the persons of 7 categories. And these 7 categories are, the Prime Minister can also be investigated, provided he or she demits the office. The current and former cabinet ministers can be prosecuted. Current and former member of parliaments. All the class 1 officers of the central government, like secretaries, joint secretaries. All the class 1 equivalent officers of the public sector undertakings and other government bodies. Directors and other officers of the non-governmental organizations which receive funding from central government. Directors and other officers of NGOs which receive the fund from public and which have an annual income of more than rupees 10 lakh from a foreign contributor and receive the minimum of 1 crore from the government. So they are trying to get everybody into picture, including NGOs if you look at it. There are certain limitations in the Lokpal and that have to be looked at as far as the jurisdiction is concerned. And let's discuss those. The limitations and generally how the jurisdiction in procedure would really operate. The 7 categories, let's look at some of the inhibitions which we have through the bill, and those are, first of all, the jurisdiction of the Lokpal will include the Prime Minister except on allegations of corruption relating to international relations, security, the public order, atomic energy and space, unless a full bench of the Lokpal and at least 2/3 members approve an inquiry. So what this namely says is that basically Prime Minister cannot be charged on the following points which are mentioned, and there has to be an exclusion of the same only in case 2/3 members, you know, of the respective bench approve on an inquiry against him. Then only on these issues can a matter be raised. Also, what we have to see according to that is that these proceedings, in case if they happen, they will be held in camera, and if the Lokpal so desires, the records of the inquiry will not be published or made available to anyone. Furthermore, the Lokpal will also have jurisdiction over ministers and MPs, but not in the matter of anything said in parliament or a vote given there. Lokpal's jurisdiction will cover all categories of public servants. Now, when we use this statement and we say that, so we are keeping the Prime Minister out of the purview in most of the things, making him again being excluded from the part, and also members of parliament who have spoken or said something. So in a way, there is a limitation in the bill, right? And it tries to stop somewhere. So it's a loophole that we see in the bill. But then again, the law is not perfect in any sense. It has to be interpreted and used. So I think there will be modifications subsequently that might come up from the government in future. We might just see. But as of now, this is one of the biggest limitations that we have. Also, there is another way to look at it. And that is in terms of jurisdiction that, you know, there are 4 group of officers like which are mentioned in the Act. So group A to D officers, which are defined under, you know, the Prevention of Corruption Act, will be covered under Lokpal, as I said earlier. But any corruption complaints against the top tier of the group, which is the group A and B of officers, only after an inquiry will come to the Lokpal. Whereas in case of officers out of A to D, C and D, which are left out, the Chief Vigilance Commissioner will investigate and report to the Lokpal. On the contrary, so see the disparity here. See, A and B will only come into picture once you know, a complaint has come, an inquiry has been done. Whereas on C1D, directly comes to the Lokpal through the CVC. Right. So there is some discrepancy in the bill in terms of hierarchy again. But again, that's something procedural and government has to take a call on it. There is really what one has to see is in all of these hierarchy of officers that we are seeing, there are also a set of gentlemen attached to them, which are also who are public servants like secretaries, directors, you know, managers, etc., which might be part of any public body as such. Or maybe a society set up by the Central Act or any other body which is, you know, financed or controlled by central government. And it will cover those individuals also, and specifically individuals who abet or suggest or initiate the bribe taking or providing. You know, so under different acts in India, there are different setups in administration, but they are all controlled by the central government, right? And being financed by them. So department will cover each and every individual which is requisitely involved in dealing with the daily issues of the public, and no one would be left right. So to sum it up, in the end, I would say a simple secretary of a senior ranking officer, if he's engaged in suggesting or doing any of these things, even he comes under the purview of the Lokpal. Now, let's look at some of the features, you know, of the Lokpal and similarly the Lok Ayuks. Now, Lok Ayuk, as I said in the beginning of the show, is nothing, just a copy of the Lokpal, but at the state level, and it works on the same principles as the Lokpal. You know, the powers, etc., are represented in the same way. Also, subsequently, the members, which have to be judicial, non-judicial, and the composition remains the same. Some interestingly new facts of Lokpal is, in case if an inquiry goes on and there are certain facts which are found out, then Lokpal and Lok Ayuk both have given the power that states that Lokpal Act states that it provides for confiscation and attachment of any property of any government official which he or she has come down to through corrupt practices, and the same can be done during the pendency of proceeding against the said official. So in case if an inquiry, if there is viable proof that the individual has made this property through a corrupt practice, then that can be attached at that point. And also the Act respectively says that in case if you are being proceeded under the same, it is mandatory that all public officials should furnish the assets and liabilities of themselves as well as their respective dependents. So again, that's another important point that everybody would need to divulge their details. But also interestingly, the Act states apart from people being prosecuted, it protects whistleblowers. It protects individuals who give out all the information that has happened. So what I mean to say that the Act guarantees protection to any government official who acts as a whistleblower, and as ancillary, a Whistleblowers Protection Act has also been enacted. So we'll come to the Act later, Whistleblowers Protection Act, but that Act guarantees the protection to individuals who divulge that such practices are happening. Now, towards the end of it, I would like to talk about the powers of the Lokpal and what are the main 7 powers that the Lokpal has, and it makes it more interesting to look at that such an initiative in India can really work. And that is, it has the powers to superintendence over and to give direction to CBI. Now, we know CBI works independently as of now, fictionally speaking, and otherwise it's a body which is to look into central matters of corruption. But we have seen heavy bureaucratic influence and off lately practices which have influenced the CBI and its various arms. So it gives the power to superintendent and independence over CBI, giving it autonomy to deal with them. If a matter has been referred to a CBI, the investigation officer in such a case cannot be transferred without approval of Lokpal. And that used to be the usual scenario in cases of corruption where the officer used to get transferred, but that cannot happen. The powers to authorize CBI for search and seizure operations in relation to a case being provided can be issued by the Lokpal. The manner in which seizure has to be done or in manner in which evidence has to be collected. Another interesting point to see, the autonomy of the Lokpal. The inquiry wing, where the matter comes in inquiry set of the Lokpal, it is vested with the powers of a civil court. So it is as much stature, and as I spoke about earlier, the composition is such, the stature is also given of a civil court, so that gives it a lot of powers. Again, power of confiscation of assets, you know, proceeds, receipts and benefits which have come through corrupt or illegal means. It has the full right to keep that in its custody until the investigation is over, or to punish with the same. The Lokpal further has powers over public servants by recommending them to transfer or suspension of public servants connected with allegation of corruption. So that is another interesting point to look at. And Lokpal finally has the power to give directions to prevent destruction of records during inquiry. And that used to be, it's a personal experience which we've seen, that the records get, and many of us would have seen, would get destroyed if a matter comes into picture. So thus, all in all, if you try to look at the battle of corruption, the Lokpal is trying to show the intention, but there are some limitations in it. And I've not hurried through the bill. I've just highlighted the major points which have to be looked at instead of going through each and every section. But this is the major outline of what a Lokpal looks like. And what is to be seen interestingly here is that, you know, the gap in the bill is that, first of all, as I spoke about the Prime Minister and other MPs being prosecuted in special cases, also the judiciary has been kept after the ambit of Lokpal. There is no constitutional backing of the same. There are no provisions for appeal against Lokpal. The powers, composition and scope of Lok Ayogs do not find any mention of the Lokpal Act. So this kind of, these kind of lacunas or gaps or, you know, other differences are really highlighted, you know, because you don't know, it does not give you a clear picture of what the intention is. We do know what the Lokpal intends to do, but in reality, the intention of the administration does not come out to be, because there are still blurry lines in the operational efficiency and provisions.
Thank you for listening to Know Your Kanoon. For more queries and questions, please contact me at contact@corpuslegal.in. Catch Know Your Kanoon every week on the IVM website or the app or anywhere you get your podcast from.
Hi, my name is Anupam Gupta. I'm B50 on Twitter. I am the host of Paisa Paisa, the show that talks money. On my show, I speak to experts from every field of money and finance, from stock markets, equities, debt funds, credit cards, life insurance, every possible area of money and finance that you can think of. We even did an episode on cryptocurrency. I've got fantastic guests from mutual funds to personal finance experts everywhere, robo-advisory, startups, just name it, we've got it. At Paisa Paisa, we help you make smart decisions about money. You work hard for money. Now make your money work hard for you. New episodes out every Monday, and you can listen to my show on the IVM Podcast app or any other podcasting app that you have.
Did you know that Parsis in Mumbai, instead of being left at the Tower of Silence after they die, are now cremated? And why? Because a cow fell sick in the early 1990s. Did you know that the smog in Delhi is caused by something that farmers in Punjab do, and that there's no way to stop them? Did you know that there wasn't one gas tragedy in Bhopal, but three? One of them was seen, but two were unseen. Did you know that many well-intentioned government policies hurt the people they're supposed to help? Why was demonetization a bad idea? How should GST have been implemented? Why are all our politicians so corrupt when not all of them are bad people? I'm Amit Verma, and in my weekly podcast, The Seen and the Unseen, I take a shot at answering all these questions and many more. I aim to go beyond the scene and show you the unseen effects of public policy and private action. I speak to experts on economics, political philosophy, cognitive neuroscience, and constitutional law, so that the insights can blow not only my mind, but also yours. The Seen and the Unseen releases every Monday. So do check out the archives and follow the show at seenunseen.in. You can also subscribe to The Seen and the Unseen on whatever podcast app you happen to prefer.